Well, good morning. Hey, there's a few people awake. Amen. We're starting a new series today. One that could be familiar to you, should be familiar to you. We're going to use the outline that Dr. Barber used to preach this in the series messages in 2003. How many of you were here in 2003? Okay, I'm sure you heard this then, if you remember it, but don't take it for granted, okay? We're going to be studying about the different doctrines, and it's going to be interesting. Some of it will be repetitious to you, but some of it will be some new stuff. When we think of doctrine, if you looked it up in Webster's dictionary, it'd be a set of core beliefs, teachings, or rules taught by a group. It comes from a Latin word, teaching. Doctrine means teaching. But in the Bible, doctrine means teaching or instruction. It's the core truth revealed by God about who He is, how humans should live, and how people can be saved through Jesus Christ. So doctrines are important. We're going to look this morning at the doctrine of the Bible. In the coming weeks, we'll be looking at the doctrine of the church, the Trinity, doctrine of man and sin, salvation, those things which we believe and teach. Our scripture this morning is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. For the sake of time, I'm just going to read the last couple of verses, and we'll pick up the others as we go through. So look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word of God. That's what we're going to be. When we say Bible, that's what we mean, the word of God. That's what we are referring to. By way of introduction, the only true revelation of God and his dealings with man is the Bible, or the word of God. The Bible sets forth God's plan and program of redemption through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to start off by looking at some miscellaneous characteristics, some, as our outline says, remarks and facts about the Word of God. And there are 10 listed here. The first one is the Bible is God speaking to man in written revelation. God speaks to us through his Word. That's why it's so important for us to spend time in his Word, to allow him to speak to us. That's how we're going to grow. That's how we're going to grow stronger, to be able to live for him and bring glory to him. The Bible is inspired and infallible. I like that word infallible there. It means never having a mistake. God's Word is inerrant. We believe that. That's what we teach here. 2 Timothy 3:16 is a familiar verse. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We could spend a whole hour just on that one verse. The Bible has many attributes that we can use in our daily lives, and it will. It will correct us. It will encourage us. It will guide us. And then number three, the Bible is the Holy Scripture which cannot be broken. It's in John 10:35. We won't go there to read it, but the scene is that Jesus is at the Feast of Dedication, and some of the Jewish people are really trying to stone him. They're getting ready to stone him because they think that he is telling people that he is the Son of God, which he is, not outwardly, but they're ready to stone him. And he refers to, in his answer to them, he refers to Psalm 82:6. And in Psalm 82:6, Jesus is talking about there are gods in the world. He's talking about magistrates, judges, teachers that are given the word of God. And he said, you call them gods, they're mortal. They're going to die. But here I am, I've been sent by the one and only God, the supreme God. And it's not blasphemy for me to be able to say that I'm sent from God. So he answers them directly but indirectly. And in verse 35 in John 10, it says that the word cannot be broken. He said, you've seen this in the word back in the psalm, and now here I'm telling you that the word cannot be broken. You know what the word says. It's kind of like we were here in the Sunday school hour there. They knew exactly what the scripture said. And they proclaimed those people to be gods. And he said, here I am, the actual Son of God. The Bible is a library of divine truth written by God, interpreted by the Holy Spirit, and has its subject matter, Jesus Christ. I think it's so awesome. I've said this before. I think one of the most awesome things that we have in this world is the fact that once we get saved, we have God living with us through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has given us what? As a comforter, as a guide, but also as a teacher. So within the scripture, one of the things we need to do is call on the Holy Spirit. As we begin to read God's word, one of the things I like to do is, because I need all the help I can get, is to pray and say, Holy Spirit, I need you to help me as I read this scripture to interpret to me so that I will understand. And many times, how many times have you read scripture over the years and all of a sudden you're reading it again and boom, there's a new thought that God places in your mind. You say, oh, I've read that 20 years. Why didn't I see that before? The Holy Spirit will open our eyes many times, illuminate things to us. In my case, might not be yours, but in my case, a lot of times it's just the fact that I was not ready for that truth. I was not ready. I was not grown enough to that point where I could take it, understand it, and then apply it to my life. So the Holy Spirit is very, very important in the Bible reading and studying. And number 5 says, the Bible is eternal and shall never pass away. Matthew 24:35 is a very familiar verse. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And then 1 Peter 1:25, but the word of God endures forever. How many times through history, and one we can think back to immediately is prior World War II when Hitler took over the German nation and they began to try to conquer other nations. One of the things they did was they banned the Bible and tried to burn it, tried to get it out of existence. God's word said that's not going to ever happen. We need to be very thankful for that. The Bible will always be around as long as God holds this earth and this world in his hands. The Bible was written by some 40 writers over a period of 1500 to 1600 years. It contains 66 books and 1189 chapters. The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, and the doom of sinners. I think that just encompasses the whole thing, the whole picture of what the Bible is. It contains the mind of God, the state of man, what state we're in, things that are going to happen, the way of salvation, which is the most important thing, and the doom of sinners. We heard a message this morning, and if you were in the early service, if you're in the second service, you'll get to hear it, about the doom of man for those that reject God, reject the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is magnified above all things. Psalm 138, I won't read the whole verse there, but the last part of it says, "For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." God's word is important. It's so important that it's magnified above all thy name. And then the Bible is accurate. Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." You won't find error in God's word. People try. They look for contradictions. They look for things that aren't true. Everything can be resolved by studying the Bible. There are no contradictions. There are no errors in God's word. It's powerful. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." We've heard that many times preached upon. It is powerful. God's word is very powerful. And it's final. We read in Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word will never pass away." So those are some facts about the word of God. I want to look at some interesting characteristics about how God's word affects us, how it should affect us. The first thing we want to look at is the Bible as God's agency. What does that word agency mean there? It's talking about a tool that God uses, how he uses God's word. The first one says it's God's agency or tool to enlighten men about sin. God's word is specific about sin. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." God's agency is to enlighten men about salvation. Romans 10:17. It tells us about everything that we need to know about salvation, about life, about death. You know, God's word has an answer to any question that we might have if we're willing to search it out, if we're willing to dig deep enough in it. Sometimes we get caught up in the fact that we need to read God's word. But I believe we need to take it a step further. We need to study God's word. We need to get down in it, dig deep into it. Have you also noticed that a lot of times it's the little bitty words, the little conjunctions, the ands, or maybe "but God," things like that, make all the difference in the world in what God's trying to tell us and what he does tell us. So we really should spend as much time studying God's word as we do reading it. I remember when I first got saved, somebody told me I need to read the entire Bible. And I read it. But about 95% of it, I couldn't have gone back and told you what I read. Even as I study now, one of the things that I have to do is I'll pick out a passage that I'm going to use as I teach, and I'll take it and I'll go over it, and then I'll stop and say, okay, now what did I get out of that? Do I understand that? How am I going to apply that to my life? And many times I have to stop, go back, read it again, slow down, and dig out each word to get what God truly wants me to get out of it. So it's good to read the Bible through, but I believe it's much better to study the Bible as we go along. I love the scripture that's put in the bulletin every week. It's a great way to read the Bible through. But that doesn't take the place, I believe, of studying God's word. And next, what will the Bible do? There's some things that it does in our lives if we spend time in it. It disciplines our lives. Joshua 1:8, a familiar verse there. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." We need to be able to speak the Bible. Why? Because as we take the Bible and apply it to our lives, we need to be able to incorporate that into our daily lives. One of the easiest things to do to be able to witness to somebody is to start using Bible scripture when you talk to them. Now, pretty quick, they'll let you know, yes, I don't want to hear that, or I'm open to hear it. That opens the door for us to give the gospel many times. As we're speaking, we need to speak God's word. We praise the Lord. How many times when we talk to people, we can say, amen, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Those are things we can incorporate in our daily dealings with other peoples that will help us to have an opportunity to witness. So we need to be willing to allow God's word to be used of us. And we need to obey it. That's one of the most important things. We need to obey God's word. Not just teach the word or preach the word, but obey the word. Everything that we read, that we study, apply it. And then the Bible deepens our understanding. 2 Timothy 2:15, another very familiar verse, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, we need to take God's word, work at it. You know, studying God's word takes some work, doesn't it? Takes some discipline, takes some work. But the more we work at it, the deeper we get into it, the more we're going to understand. Why is that important? It fortifies us. It's like getting up and eating breakfast. I don't like breakfast. I like brunch. But you know what? I don't brunch God's word, because I need it to start my day, to get me on the right path, to make sure that my thought pattern's where it should be. From time to time during the day, I like to remind myself and say, okay, how have I expressed God's word today in my daily life? It'll deepen our understanding as we study God's word. It dispels our doubts. Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. He said when he found them, when he got to them and he understood them, he absorbed them, he meditated on them. We need to meditate on God's word. And his message wasn't going to be one that a lot of people received joyfully, but he says, when I get into your word, it removes all doubt about what I'm supposed to be doing and gives me a joy. Joy is something that Satan would like to take from us. The joy of our salvation, the joy of our living for him in our daily lives. We need to be careful not to give him an open door. And we do that by spending time in God's word. And then it says it develops our character. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Boy, do we need that. We need every tool we can. We need everything that we can place in our hearts and our minds to ward off the temptation that Satan's going to cast in front of us every single day. You know, the one thing about Satan you can be sure of, he never quits. He's always looking for an opportunity. Can't touch our salvation, but boy, if he can get us to take off on some kind of tangent, get our eyes off the Lord, that's a victory for him. We don't want to give him that victory. So that's why hiding God's word in our heart, memorizing. That used to be a dirty word for me, memorize. Man, I couldn't stand that in school. We had to memorize poetry. We had to memorize this, that, and the other. I thought when I finished a college course in sociology one time, I said, I'll never, ever memorize anything else. Because the teacher I had, first of all, she was from Sweden and I couldn't understand her. Because she said, Thursdays are the good days of the week. And I'm trying to learn, you know, and I can't understand what she's saying. But then she tells us, there will be much memory work. Oh, I thought, man, I got out of high school. I thought I was done with that. At our age, at this stage of our life, it's easy to say, oh, you know, I can't do that. I can't remember where my keys are. How am I going to memorize God's word? Well, it's pretty simple. It's just like we've always done. And I point this out all the time, and it's so true. If you have a favorite hymn or a favorite song, I guarantee you can sing it word for word, never miss a beat on it. God's word is the same. We can memorize God's word. Some of us have to go the extra mile. I have to carry the little cards around when I want to memorize something and read it 20 times. If I can read it 20 times, I can almost quote it, unless it's real long, okay? We can memorize God's word. It's to our advantage to know as much of God's word. Why? Because as we deal with situations and circumstances that come up in everyday life, the Holy Spirit will recall Scripture to our mind that we can use to deal with that situation. It works every time, every time. And it's not us, it's the Holy Spirit. But we have to do our part and memorize some of God's Word. And then it directs our path. Another very familiar word. Verse, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word provides daily, daily practical wisdom for us. Daily. In every part of our life. You know, we make choices all day long. If we'll allow God's word to permeate our heart and mind, we won't go veering off on some crazy path. We won't let some circumstance just blow our whole day or cause us to say or do something we normally wouldn't want to do. It's easy for our mind to wander. Now, there again, at our age, okay, my mind stays wandering most of the time, so I have to have a recall mechanism to make sure that I don't get off track. The importance of God's word guiding us and directing us every day just can't be underestimated. We have to have it. And then, how is the Bible described? It's described as a traveler's guide. It points out safe paths, warns us of dangers ahead, and shows us our eternal destination, our final destination. So it is a traveler's guide. It's described as the pilgrim's staff, support when we walk through difficult times. You know, when we go through difficult times in our lives, what do we lean on? We lean on God's word. We know God's in control of every situation, but we have to lean on his word. Lean on what we know, what we've learned, what we've grown, how we've grown. It's described as the pilot's compass. It helps us stay on course. It's important to stay on course. It's described as a soldier's sword. It's our offensive and defensive weapon that we can use in our daily battle, the spiritual battle that Satan wants to continue to bring up in our lives. He's constantly throwing things at us that we need to rebut, put out of our lives. So it's our sword. It's described as the Christian's charter. That's in reference to 1 Corinthians 3, 21 and 23. It's a situation where Paul's talking and he's telling believers to stop boasting about human people. Don't make a pastor your God. Don't make a person more important than the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, keep your eyes on God, not on man. And that's very important. It's easy to do. We see a lot of churches today that people go to a church just because they like the pastor. There's nothing wrong with that, but when you place that pastor above the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a problem. And Paul's warning the Corinthians church is that's what's happening. You know, there's some false teachers, and you need to make sure you're not worshiping them. You're not listening to them, but you listen to the Lord. And then it's described as the framework of our faith. I wrote down three things on here. It's our framework. It's the source of our truth. It's our guide for living. And it's our anchor in uncertain times. So it's three things. It's the source of our truth. It's our daily guide for living. And our anchor in uncertainty. These are all things that the Bible are. It's described as the constitution of our church. In other words, our supreme authority for our faith and life. We have a constitution here at our church that tells us what we believe and that we follow. The next one says, what is the Bible to us? What is the Bible to you? When you think of the Bible and you think of God's Word, what does that mean to you? What thought comes into your mind? Dr. Barber listed eight things here. It's a mirror to reveal our character. It's milk to nourish our souls. Meat to strengthen our hearts. Honey to delight our taste. Fire to burn out our sin. Hammer, it's a hammer to break our stubborn will. It's a sword to fight our spiritual battles. And it's a lamp to guide our weary feet. Wow. The Bible to us is a lot of different things, isn't it? It's our everything. Now, what does the Bible tell us? It tells us about God and man, about heaven and hell, sin and salvation, life and death, time and eternity. There again, it's our everything. Everything we need to know, everything we need to live a life as a Christian, the Bible has for us. It's that important. You realize there have been over 7 billion Bibles sold? 7 billion, that's with a B. It's the most sold book of anything in the world. Then the second point, which I've got just a couple of minutes to go through, these are things that you probably know. The Bible is divided into 2 general divisions, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament's 39 books, and the theme of it is Christ is coming. The New Testament, 27 books, the theme is Christ has come, which is great. The Bible is further classified as follows. Old Testament breaks down how each of the books are labeled for us. The Old Testament, the Pentateuch, that's Genesis through Deuteronomy. The historical books, Joshua through Esther. Poetical books, Job through Song of Solomon. Prophetical books, Isaiah through Malachi. Then the New Testament, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Then history, Acts of the Apostles, epistles of Paul, or Romans through Hebrews, the general epistles, James through Jude, prophecy, the book of Revelation. You know, those are things that we know, but, you know, one day, someday, Dr. Weaver's going to let me teach a lesson on a song. It's a gospel song. I love gospel songs. And I know you've heard it. And I'm not going to tell you what it is because that would spoil it. But it's talking about handing down things generation to generation to generation. Before we had the written word, that's how God's word was handed down generation to generation verbally. We're not absolved of that responsibility now, even as seniors. You say, oh, I've got my family raised. I don't have anything going on, you know, no children at home. Well, we have grandchildren or we have people that we work around or friends that we socialize with. Are we handing down God's word verbally? I'll tell you the name of the song. Will the circle be unbroken? And I know you've all heard it. We don't need to be the ones to break the circle. We need to continue to pass on God's word. The Bible is important. What should we do with the Bible? That last thing there. Hide it in our hearts. We talked about that. Heed it in our lives. Apply it at every opportunity. Don't just read it, but apply it. Then hold it. And there's a typographical that somebody made. I'm not sure who typed this, but hold it forth to others. Give it to other people. Pass it down. Pass it on. Pass it out. Witness with it. Lead people to Christ with it. The Bible is important. It is a doctrine of our church. Next week we'll look at another doctrine. But as we look into these, don't just think, oh, you know, I know that, I've heard that. There's always something new that we can derive every time we look into God's Word. That's the great thing about it. It never changes, but we never learn everything we need to know about God's Word. So we need to keep digging, keep praying, keep asking, keep allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us, and spend time in it. Do you have a time set aside every day to look into God's Word? We all need that. That's our strength. That's where we grow. The doctrines are part of our faith, what we believe. And as we look into the rest of them, let's look at them with a new eye, just like we've never heard them before, and see what God will reveal to us. Father, we thank you for your Word. Thank you, Lord, that it never changes. Thank you, Lord, that it gives us the answer to every single question we might ever need to know. Thank you, Lord, that it gives us our strength. It guides us. It directs us. It's the way we should be growing. Help us to spend our time in it, Lord, that one, that we might not sin against thee, but, Lord, that we might be fortified to overcome Satan and the spiritual battles that we have daily. So thank you, Lord, for giving it to us. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit, who will help us to understand it. Give us a desire in our hearts to know more about it, that we might know more about you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for giving us a good church home. Bless pastors. He speaks once again, Lord, giving us your Word. We'll thank you and praise you and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.